ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Bacon Saved, written by Paul Ryan.
Well, sir, it's a minute or two past 12 o'clock as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the kitchen, we find Mrs. Victor Cook and her son, Mr. Rush Cook. The table is set for the noonday meal, and our friends are hovering beside the gas stove, chatting idly. Listen.
Wayne Wayne Hooper up at school claims he's related to your friends Edith and Raleigh, Ma.
Oh?
His locker's right next to mine in the gymnasium, and we were sitting on the bench this morning, lacing up our shoes, and just to make talk, I mentioned my mother had very dear friends in Kentucky with the same name as his.
And he said he was related?
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure it was just actual grease and peach butter. He talked too glib, see? Edith and Raleigh Hooper, he says, why, bless your heart, chum, that family connection is terrible close. My Aunt Eleanor married a man named Borchardt, and they had two children, Roy and Petsy. I've all...
Listen.
Huh?
Yes?
That's the high horse to hold.
Well, coming in the front door these days, aren't we?
Probably walked up Virginia Avenue with Steve Chestbutter and absentmindedly walked up on the porch.
I bet my wife's furious because I used the front door. Is my wife furious because I used the front door?
We do have some rules and regulations.
I can explain. Well, Rush, I find you home.
Greetings, yes.
No, but about using the front door, it seems to me, as long as we agree we ought to come in the back, it isn't fair for one party to do the one thing and the other...
That's pity. Not another word, pity. You're very angry now, I know, but in just a second you're going to be angrier still.
Why?
Because I'm not eating dinner here this noon.
Oh?
I'm sorry and sick with regret and proffer a thousand apologies, but it's just one of those things. The only reason I come home was to get a clean shirt. Rush, cut up and get Papa a clean shirt. A white one.
Okay.
Scoot, my dear.
I want to hear why you're not eating with us.
Because I'm dining with business associates at the little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shoppy.
Oh.
Now, Scoot.
Okay.
You might also bring down with you my blue necktie with the white dot.
All right.
I got lovely stuff fixed for you.
Yes, and it smells mighty, mighty good.
You might at least have telephoned or something.
I couldn't. I didn't know. This all come up on the spur of the moment. Oh, well. That's the penalty of being a cog in the wheel of big business. A man must adjust himself to circumstances. A man must be prepared to alter the pattern of his regimen at any second.
Gonna eat at the little tiny feathered weather, huh?
The little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shoppy.
Who else gone?
An extremely illustrious group. Your poor husband, I fear, will be badly overshadowed.
Mr. Buller in town?
Mr. Buller's in town, and guess who else is in town?
Who?
Mr. Gus Fuss. Brilliant kitchenware executive from Dubuque, Iowa.
Oh?
Those two luminaries are going to dinner. The chief himself, Mr. Rubish, is going to dinner. And your wretched husband makes a fortune.
Say, you are eating with the hot shot blue blood.
Of course, I'm awful darn sorry to throw a wrench in your household machinery.
Oh, well. Well, how'd they happen to pick out the little shoppy-de-woppy?
Well, this idea.
Big, enormous dignitaries like Mr. Rubush generally eat at the Butler House Hotel, don't they?
Yeah, the little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shoppy was Buller's notion. He's been there before, you know, and he likes it.
You got two blue neckties with white splashes, Gus. I brought down the one that looked the newest.
Yes, and you used your head. You are a good boy. One of these days, it is extremely unlikely that I give you half a dollar.
Okay.
I will now change my shirt.
Fine.
You people needn't mind me. Sit down and eat your dinner.
Won't be ready for a few minutes yet.
Uh-huh.
Your father's dining with big important muckety-mucks this noon.
Oh? Mr. Rubish, Mr. Buller, and Mr. Gus Fuss of Dubuque, Iowa.
Well,
I trust you're proud of your father?
Sure.
Astonishes me why they should pick out that little tiny tea shoppy-de-floppy.
Mr. Buller admires their home cooking and the generous serving. He was greatly pleased with both the service and the cuisine when he was there before.
Oh, it's such a dinky establishment.
It's modest, yes.
What's the matter?
I'm ready.
You suddenly stopped, unbuttoning your shirt, and stared off into space.
Oh, I see that.
I was just telling Mommy about Rain Brain Hooper up at school.
Oh, yes?
Yes. It seems Rain Brain Hooper says...
Yeah.
You want to hear something funny?
Sure.
Your mention in the little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shop, you reminded me.
Oh?
Kind of a ridiculous situation.
Oh?
It might amuse you and it might not. It amuses me.
Oh, what is it?
Mr. Buller was determined to take us three guys to the little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shop.
Uh-huh.
So he made arrangements with Mrs. Grice, the proprietor.
Hmm.
And now comes the funny part.
Yeah? Well, what's the funny part?
Mrs. Grice is only three tables in her restaurant.
Yes, I know.
Well, as luck would have it, two of these tables had already been reserved before Mr. Buller showed up.
Well?
Some family party or other reserved these two tables and made arrangements with Mrs. Grice to seat 11 persons.
11 persons at two tables?
Exactly. Necessitates some crowding.
Yes, I'd imagine.
Necessitates some crowding.
Well, how does this affect you and Mr. Ubrich and Mr. Buller and Mr. Fuss?
Yeah, how does it?
Well, as a matter of fact, I personally am the one affected.
Oh.
Here comes the funny part.
Oh.
Sit down and enjoy your dinner, you people.
It's not ready.
Oh. How's this shirt look?
All right.
What?
What's the funny part?
The funny part. Oh, sure, the funny part.
Oh.
Well, on account of this half-wit family party cluttering up the tea shoppy, our table has to be shoved against the wall. And no matter how the three tables are placed, our table will only seat three persons.
Somebody has to stand up and eat?
No.
You have to stand up and eat?
Nobody has to stand up and eat. Everybody gets to sit down.
Uh-huh.
However, a makeshift arrangement did have to be devised.
And you're the goat.
What?
I can tell by your actions and the expression on your face you've been rung in on something and feel foolish about it.
Oh, now, hey.
What makeshift arrangement was devised?
Well, it worked out very simply. Our table is to be shoved up against the wall, and...
You're going
to
eat underneath?
Beg your pardon?
You're going to eat underneath the table?
I'm afraid you're a capricious boy, Rush. Mm-hmm. Our table is to be shoved up against the wall, Dave.
Yeah.
And here we have a bit of ingenuity.
Oh?
A bit of clever ingenuity is provided by Gus Fuss.
What's that?
Well, instead of shoving our table up against the wall, see?
Yeah.
It's to be shoved up against a window.
You're going to eat outdoors?
What?
You're going to
go
outside the window?
Oh, now, one at a time, please. Yes, Dave.
You're going to stand outside the window and eat?
I'm not going to stand anywhere and eat.
Well, explain what you're talking about, then.
A ladder will be provided.
A step ladder?
Yes, with a sofa pillar on it.
And you're going to sit on that ladder outside the building?
The table will be flush with the windowsill. The stepladder will also be flush with the windowsill. I will be outside the tea shop. The other three fellas will be inside the tea shop. What difference does it make? We'll be four fellas sitting around a table eating our dinner, won't we?
Oh, no, Vic.
I consider it a very clever strategy.
The stuff you get yourself into...
I have sort of a halfway hunch you'd view the matter in a peculiar light.
The people going past on the street?
What about them?
Aren't they apt to view the matter in a peculiar light also? Here's a man sitting on a stepladder outside a restaurant, poking his head through the window.
Oh,
and he...
heck, say.
Well, why does it always have to be you that holds the dirty end of the stick?
Would you have the big boss, Mr. Rubish, sitting on a stepladder eating through a window?
I wouldn't have anybody doing it.
Would you have Mr. Buller doing it?
I wouldn't have anybody doing it.
Would you have Gus Fuss, the smart executive from Dubuque, doing it?
I wouldn't have anybody doing it.
Well, I know what you think. You think I'm being placed in a ridiculous position.
Well, aren't you?
No, I'm being a good fella and adjusting myself to circumstances. Why, I'm honored in the first place even to be invited to eat with three brilliant...
Telephone's ringing.
I'll get it. You people sit down and have dinner.
Maybe we better, Willie.
Okay.
Hello? Oh, yes, Mr. Rubish. Oh? Yeah, that's right. Why, not at all, Mr. Rubish. No, not a bit of it. Why, it'll be fun. Sure. Forget it. No, not at all. Yes, and I'll see you there in just a few minutes. Okay, Chief. You bet. Bye-bye. You know who that was?
Mr. Rubish.
Yes, and he telephoned to say that he bet I wouldn't want to sit on any stepladder outside of any restaurant. And wouldn't blame me if I said to heck with it and announced I think Gus Fuss is a lame brain.
Oh.
He's a grand old boy.
Yeah. Well, are you going to do it? Are you going to perch yourself on the stepladder outside the little tiny Dewiney tea shop?
Of course I'm going to do it. I'm going to like to it. Sure. What?
I just glanced out the window.
Well?
It's raining. Raining pretty brisk.
Why, so it is.
Rush.
Yes?
Go upstairs.
Yes?
Get me an umbrella.